We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
You know, the All-Star game just proving that, you know, I'm here, I belong, in being the best player in the world. You know, I just intend to just, you know, keep coming out every single night, just play hard, trying to get wins and, you know, just go out and trying to win a championship.
Those are the words of Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers going to be the best player in the world. I don't know if he's the best player in the world, but he thinks he is, and he says it just before he has to come to town to face Giannis Antetokounmpo. Tomorrow night, if you're going to be out and about and you want to watch the game, check out Curly's Waterfront Pub and Grill out there in Pewaukee Lake area, as they got a great place to go and see it. So stop in, tell them we said hi. Go to curlyswaterfrontpub.com. Also, hey, a great product is the Connecticut Water Softening System. I have it in my home. It is fantastic. The biggest thing you'll notice is not only do all the calcification deposits leave the faucet heads, but the water tastes fantastic with reverse osmosis. That's one of the reasons I got it, and I swear by this thing. If you're looking for a water softening system, all you got to do is go to H2ODoctors.com and see for yourself what it is I have been talking about. Take your water out to them, as a matter of fact. Get a water analysis. They'll tell you right then and there whether or not you have good water. So Joe Giglio, Sports Radio 94 WIP in Philadelphia, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Joe, how you been, buddy?
Good, Bill. How you doing?
I am well, and we are waiting for this matchup. Now, the Bucks get a lot of teams that are over 500 towards the end of the season. We'll wait and see at what point, if at all, they are able to end up clinching the top spot in the East. But you tell me, is Joel Embiid the best player in the world?
No, he's not. You know, maybe once every 3 weeks he has a game like last night, and you start to see it again and believe that he has that ceiling. But Billy's not. It's been a very weird season for Joel Embiid. The team didn't do him any favors by the way they built this thing with a bunch of basically power forwards around and very little spacing on the floor for most of the season until a recent lineup change took Al Horford and put him on the bench. So it hasn't been a great season for him. I think he's been internally upset that Jimmy Butler is no longer here and was basically allowed to go to Miami and not re-sign with the Sixers. So I think it's been some kind of in his head, some physically, some emotionally. He hasn't been as good this year overall as he's been in the past. He's not the best player in the world. He's a top 10 player, but not quite as good as he thinks he is.
So tell me about this team, how one night they can come out and just look fantastic, and the next night or the next week they don't do anything. And it's a team that I just have not been able to figure out all season long because there is so much talent there.
Yeah, I think it's a couple things. So one, their best players really haven't taken enough of a leap forward. I think beyond all the little things like fit, I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, Joel Embiid has not been better this year than he's been in the past couple. And while Ben Simmons has improved in some areas, I think he's a better defender. He's more a little bit more aggressive. I mean, he's still basically the same offensive player refusing to take a jump shot. So when your two best players are the same, you're either going to be the same or you're going to stagnate. And that's kind of been what they've been. But Bill, the other aspect, and you'll probably see it tomorrow night, as we saw a couple weeks ago when the Sixers were in Milwaukee, you could basically pick the outcome of the game based on where it is. In Philadelphia, they are virtually unbeatable. I mean, they are dominant at home, as good as any team in the NBA. They're probably ticketed for something close to 37 or 38 wins in Philadelphia. On the road, they're 9-19, and they could lose to anyone, anywhere, including Phoenix or Orlando or Atlanta. It doesn't matter. So, I mean, that's the most obvious thing. When they're home, they could beat anyone, including the Lakers and the Clippers and the Bucks on Christmas. They go on the road, and they're just it's a completely different basketball team.
Why? Obviously they haven't been able to figure it out, but do they give you a reason inside that locker room as to why? Do they just, you know, they don't have sleep number beds on the road or what? I mean, you got to be able to figure that out at some point.
Yeah, they just shrug their shoulders. I mean, they've been good at home for a while, so the home excellence is not surprising, but the road thing is, has gone from, you know, they're okay on the road to, oh, no, they're terrible on the road. My perspective is effort. I mean, I just don't see the effort from them on the road like I do at home. I don't know if that is fear of getting booed by us here, which they did last night as they were down to the Nets for a period in that game, or it's just a maturity thing. But the effort doesn't seem to always be there on the road, especially Embiid. He plays his best basketball at home, and on the road, when things go bad, he seems to cower a little bit.
So about the rest of this team, as far as they stack up against the Bucks have been kind of the gold standard in the East all along this season. It seems like they've learned something. Now, we'll wait and see when the postseason gets here, but they've learned something from last year. How far away do you feel Philadelphia is to where the Bucks are?
They're significantly away, but I do think of all the teams in the East, the Sixers are behind. I just think on a game-to-game basis, the way their roster is set up, they do match up, okay with the Bucks. Like, considering the gap in record, I don't think the gap in the matchup when you watch the game is that much. I think the Sixers built a team really to try to beat the Bucks with length and to give Giannis trouble. I think that was part of the calculus behind the Al Horford signing. And we saw that on Christmas. I mean, they shot the ball well that day, and they beat Milwaukee in Philadelphia on Christmas. But the part that's hurt the Sixers is Al Horford, who played well on Christmas. We know he played well in the playoffs last year against Milwaukee when he was part of the Celtics. He's been really poor this year, and I believe he's hurt and playing through it. The Sixers really haven't said anything substantial that, you know, it's a serious injury, but he just looks like he aged 5 years in a matter of months. So my guess is Al is not himself physically, and the Sixers really need him to give the Bucks trouble.
I was going to ask you, we're just sitting here talking about Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton has certainly become the number two to Giannis. He's finally got a Robin to his Batman. You've got Bledsoe, who's playing better. You look at the way this rotation has been. They've got shot blockers in the Lopez brothers. They've got guys who can do it from the perimeter with Kyle Korver and Dante DiVincenzo. How do you defend what the Bucks are bringing right now?
You have to just try to you have to try to shoot. I mean, I think that's the way to beat the Bucks. Like, you have to just have a night or have a series, maybe come the postseason, where you just shoot better than they do. I mean, Giannis obviously is a tremendous player, probably on his track to a second consecutive MVP award. But when your most high-volume player is not a great three-point shooter, it kind of changes the calculus of the game. And if anyone's going to beat them, they're probably going to shoot a lot of threes. I mean, and just kind of outscore them that way. For the Sixers, they're not that kind of team. But, Bill, I mean, just watching the Bucks all year, I mean, they're amazing. I mean, teams that start with this kind of record, I'm sure you guys have talked about it, very rarely don't at least make the finals. I mean, I'd be shocked at this point if they're not representing the East.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just got done kind of mentioning that I really believe this is the best team in the East, and they should be there. And I'll be honest with you, I think for most people outside looking in, if the Bucks don't end up in the NBA Finals, wouldn't that be considered a disappointment?
Yes, mostly because they're so good. And also, there really is no natural number two in the East. I mean, Toronto's had an amazing season. But you have to figure that not having Kawhi and kind of elevating everyone else that roster catches up to them in a playoff series, I think that makes a big difference. I don't think Miami is ready. I think Boston is intriguing, but also probably not quite there. And obviously the Sixers have their issues. So I don't think there really is a team that could take them down in a seven-game series. If they're not there, likely against one of the Los Angeles teams, I think something wacky happens.
Talking with Joe Giglio from the Sports Radio 94 WIP, the Whip down there in Philadelphia. Hey, I got to ask you real quick, what is the outlook this year for your Philadelphia Phillies?
You know, it's funny you brought that up, Bill, because we've been discussing it a lot. I mean, last year there was a lot of hype heading into the season after the signing of Bryce Harper. They traded for JT Realmuto, and then everything kind of went wrong, and they just flopped. They were a 500 team. They never could get out of their own way, winning streaks, losing streaks, just kind of hovering around 500 all year. And we expected more in the offseason, significant change, adding multiple pitchers. And they really didn't do that. And they have shied away from the luxury tax, which they're right under, which, you know, most teams in baseball try to avoid that now. But there is a concern here in Philadelphia that they're just not good enough, that they're better than last year, and that, you know, Joe Girardi brings some experience to the dugout replacing Gabe Kapler. But I just look at them as in the mix of many wild card contenders. But quite frankly, the projections have them right now as the fourth best team in their division, which probably is accurate behind the Braves, the Nationals, and the Mets. So they're better, but they're not quite getting the hype we had last year, you know, all things considered.
Hey, one more question. We'll go to football. What are you guys needing in the NFL draft?
Oh, well, wide receiver. I mean, the Eagles
everybody
wide receiver
does.
Last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Well, it's the year to get it because it looks like an amazing wide receiver class, but yeah, I think the Eagles need to get a young receiver that can kind of build and be part of this thing for a long time. They still have DeSean Jackson under contract. Most of us expect Alshon Jeffrey to be cut and the Eagles to move on from a guy that helped them win a Super Bowl a couple years ago. And they have a couple young guys that emerged down the stretch last year, including Greg Ward, who was the practice squad guy. But they just need a big play, young receiver. I think that's where they're going to go in the draft. But they have about $50 million in cap room. So we're expecting a lot of action by the Eagles in the next couple weeks.
Joe, great to talk to you, my friend. We will certainly talk down the road. Look forward to the rest of the season, and we'll touch base, okay?
Anytime, Bill. Thank you.
Appreciate it, pal. Joe Giglio, there you go. Sports Radio 94 WIP, the Whip in Philadelphia. You can find his stuff at Joe Giglio, G-I-G-L-I-O. G-I-G-L-I-O, Giglio Sports, Joe Giglio Sports on Twitter. Find his stuff there. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE to go to SchneiderJobs.com. That's 844-PRIDE to go to SchneiderJobs.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.